Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. If you've been with us the first 2 days of this week, then you know we are here at Genesis chapter 3 and digging in at verse 1. Our series in Genesis 3 has the title God and Satan and Man and Woman. This is slightly different from the title I gave to Genesis 2. That was God and Man and Woman. You'll notice in Genesis 3 we continue with God, and of course we do. We always have God. He has always existed from before the beginning. He does exist, and he will always exist. He is God. And you are listening to God Is. And we continue with the man, Adam, and the woman, Eve. In Genesis 2, we learned a lot about them, and I will refer back to Genesis 2 quite a bit here in chapter 3. But then you will have noticed that to God and man and woman, we add Satan. As Genesis chapter 3 opens, we are confronted with evil. Into the good of the garden in Eden, suddenly, abruptly appears evil. Listen as I open the Bible and read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" That was Genesis 3, verse 1. The third word in this verse stops us dead in our tracks. The word is serpent. And I ask the first question of this new series: what is this serpent? That is what I want to answer. As we begin in this chapter, let's deal off the top with this serpent. I want to say several things about the serpent. First, in this verse, we are in the garden in Eden with Adam and Eve, and we have to admit that we are not told how this serpent is in the garden. We are only told matter-of-factly that he is there. The setting is the garden in Eden, and herein is the serpent. That's first. Second, God created the serpent. God made the serpent. Listen to part of verse 1 again. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent is one of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. God made the serpent, and believe me, this is important to keep in mind. This is not a minor detail. The serpent is dependent on God for its existence. It cannot exist independently from God. Do not imagine the serpent as some sort of independent animal that slinked its way into the garden from the middle of nowhere. Not at all. This serpent was created and its existence sustained by God. Third, because God created the serpent, that makes the serpent good. Listen to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. We read this after God finishes creating the world and everything in it. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God saw the serpent and thought of it. God declared it good. As the story develops, there will be those who say, "Oh, God must have made this serpent wicked and evil. God created this evil thing and unleashed it in his garden." Well, those who say or think that will be wrong to say it or think it, because what we are going to learn is that this serpent was not evil by nature. Stick with me for that. A bottom line for now is that God created the serpent and declared it good. Indeed, he includes it among the very good. We have three insights about this serpent so far, and now we come to our fourth. We are told that the serpent was more crafty. What should be said about this craftiness? Some translations of the Bible will use the word subtle here. The serpent was more subtle than the other beasts. While I think the word crafty gives us a hint that we will be dealing with more than a serpent, as we would think of a serpent today, a snake, it being more crafty or more subtle is not necessarily a negative or a bad trait. Let's do a little cross-referencing here and turn all the way over in our Bibles from Genesis 3 to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Genesis is the first book of the Old Testament, and Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his apostles by giving them specific instructions. Interestingly, in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Did you catch it? Jesus says to be as shrewd as what? Be as shrewd as serpents. And this is a good thing. This is a positive trait. Be this. Christians are to be as serpents in this respect. Be crafty, be subtle, be shrewd, or be cunning in dealing with unbelievers. What we want to do as Christ's people is to engage unbelievers by wisely using the best means possible to reach them with the gospel. We are to be discerning to find a way to the heart and mind of a person who is rejecting Christ. So, as the serpent in the garden will use the best means possible to tempt Adam and Eve into sin, the negative use of craftiness, ironically, Christ's apostles are to use the best means possible to share the gospel with non-Christians, the positive use of craftiness. Jesus beats Satan at his own game. We are to also be as innocent as doves. That means we speak the gospel into people's lives in a harmless, gentle, and pure way. Jesus instructs, "Be like the serpent and be like the dove." And God made the serpent and the dove to be this way. As John Calvin points out in his excellent commentary on the book of Genesis, quote, "God has endued this beast, the serpent, with such singular skill as rendered it acute and quick-sighted above all others. But Satan perverted it to his own deceitful purposes." End quote. What Calvin is saying is that God is the one who made the serpent crafty, but Satan then exploited that trait and used it for evil intentions. And we are going to be talking about the nature of the relationship between Satan and this serpent very soon. Now, as we come to a fifth insight into what is the serpent, I want to address what has probably been on your mind for the first part of this broadcast and podcast. Was this serpent a snake? I would guess most of you have in your mind already a snake. Well, it depends what we mean by snake. I think this serpent now would look like a snake does today. But not here in the garden in Eden. The serpent here is not the snake we know of today. When this serpent approached Eve, I believe it stood upright. To quote Merrill Unger, that expert in Hebrew and Semitic languages, as well as author of his commentary on the entire Old Testament, this serpent in verse 1 was not a writhing reptile. I love the way Unger puts it, not a writhing reptile. However, when we flip ahead, so let's just sneak ahead in Genesis 3 to verse 14, we read this. I'm reading Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. That's Genesis 3, verse 14. Aha! On the belly the serpent will grow. So that, my friends, is why we think of a serpent as a snake. The snake always slithers around on its belly. It does not stand upright like a man or a woman does. But that is as a result of sin. That is as a result of the curse that God put on the serpent. Nearby where we live, here in the Boston area, I regularly drive by this two-story brick building, and hanging on the outside is a very colorful electronic banner that declares exotic pets and supplies. The sign also mentions reptiles. And every single time I shake my head, there is just no chance I pull into an empty parking space outside that building and go in. A pet snake, count me out. Now a dog, yes. Even a cat, okay. But a snake, I am not a fan. I get a little nervous shiver just thinking about what is inside that shop. And ironically, it is on my way to one of our favorite pizza makers, so I have to first contend with the snakes before I can pick up my large half pepperoni, half hamburger. If you want to imagine this serpent as a snake, I hope this context will help you to reimagine what we have here in verse 1 of Genesis 3. And since we are running out of time, and it will soon be time for some of you to order a pizza, well, tomorrow we are going to come back to this. We'll pick up here with a sixth insight into the serpent. So far we have five. A snake pizza? How about that for a topping? I wonder what that would taste like. No doubt they serve it somewhere in the world. Have you tried it? Okay, a fun note to end on, but this serpent is no laughing matter. So join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.